This is Politico Energy. Stay tuned after the show for a message from Chevron. I'm Anthony Adragna. During the Trump administration, the U.S. has been relying heavily on one particular tool in the toolbox when it comes to foreign policy.
1 year ago today, U.S. sanctions against Iran over its nuclear program were reintroduced. That means the U.S. punish everyone who trades with Iran.
Whether it be trying to topple a regime or keep a global rival from expanding its power, American governments have turned to sanctions, including recently in trying to stop the Nord Stream 2 pipeline from getting from Russia to Europe. So, when people last heard about the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, perhaps it was when Congress imposed sanctions on the companies who would be completing the last leg of it, and that was done last year, correct?
Correct. So Ted Cruz was the one kind of spearheading that. They kind of got these sanction bills passed in Congress. The White House kind of sort of said, okay, we'll work with these. So basically the sanctions were against the companies that would have put the pipeline underground. The original sanctions that got passed last year in the U.S. didn't really do too much to stop the progress. So what Cruz came to do is say, well, what we're going to do then is we're going to try to target more sanctions against this German port town where these ships are using as staging areas. One of the complaints we've heard, and this isn't just from the Europeans, but this is from American critics as well, is that the Trump administration is basically has one foreign policy tool, and that is sanctions. And what the Europeans were telling us is that get out of our grill with these sanctions is basically what they were saying. And we had, you know, the head of this port town say, you know, maybe we should start thinking of doing our own sanctions against U.S. companies. We can't just be kind of like led around by the whim of the U.S. And then, you know, face financial penalties for, you know, kind of deciding how we want to do business.
Today, Politico's Ben LaFave on how America's favorite foreign policy tool could turn against the U.S. It's Friday, September 4th, and I'm Anthony Adragna. So what you and one of our European colleagues reported over the weekend is that now U.S. gas exporters are beginning to fear that there may be retaliation from the European Union over the sanctions the U.S. imposed, right?
People are worried that there is a methane curtain descending over the Atlantic over this sanctions politics.
Wow.
The U.S. is counting on Europe to become like a major market for U.S. LNG. So now they're worried that this could become like a rallying point for almost a certain kind of European energy nationalism, where folks will say, well, look, you know, we already know Russia. We're not naive. We've dealt with Russia in the past, you know, as far as energy business. So there's a concern that the U.S., you know, efforts to kind of sanction everything in sight over, you know, Iranian oil, Venezuelan oil, Russian gas is starting to really backfire and maybe making people more in Europe more inclined to, you know, let's deal with the folks we already know in our own backyard. This whole kerfluffle, as you will, is convincing more and more Europeans and Germans in particular to just get out of natural gas. They're like, we're sick of being squeezed between two natural gas giants and who are kind of using energy as a geopolitical tool that we kept getting in the crossfire of. This is what some folks told us. One of the reasons that Europeans are looking more towards hydrogen, because it's something they can kind of make on their own, and they don't have to worry about who's up or who's down geopolitically in the world at the moment, or, you know, kind of who's pissing who off geopolitically as far as the natural gas world is concerned.
And as if that wasn't complicated enough, there was a major development last week.
For the last 12 days, Alexei Navalny has been confined to this Berlin hospital in an induced coma while he's being treated for chemical poisoning.
The German government says tests conducted on Russian opposition figure Alexei Navalny have revealed unequivocal proof that he was poisoned last month with a chemical nerve agent.
In the form of the now since confirmed poisoning of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny, that now has led a senior German official to suggest that maybe the EU should pull their support of this project. What is that dynamic like, and what do you think the fallout may be?
Now, this is a really fluid situation now. So now they're saying, well, we need to have some kind of response to this. So the, you know, one of the biggest cards we can play is saying, no, we will not complete the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. So everything's kind of back up in the air again. I mean, it's obvious that Russia does want to play by its own rules. It's not afraid of striking out against dissidents, you know, whether they are in, you know, on Russian soil or not. And, you know, do you want to be pumping more money to that regime?
So, Ben, say we get the Europeans so mad about our approach to the whole Nord Stream 2 deal that they decide not to turn to the U.S. for their natural gas needs. How much could American natural gas lose from that?
It'd be a pretty big loss. I mean, in the short term, we're not sending that much to Europe right now, but we're hoping to grow that to be like a major market. We've already kind of maxed out our shipments over to Japan and, you know, some other Asian countries. So it becomes a big deal. One of the other options I forgot to mention was that some European countries have signed on to this system. It's almost like a alternate system to facilitate transactions between European countries and companies that were maybe doing business in countries that had been sanctioned, like Iran or elsewhere, but not using the U.S. dollar or the U.S. banking system, which would be a huge loss to the U.S. if that happens. Because, you know, one of the ways that we stay in power is basically everyone's got to use our money. Well, they don't have to, but they usually do because it's convenient. And now they're saying this is not being convenient anymore. We really need to come up with another way to do things.
Also, environmentalists want to make climate change a central part of the 2020 presidential debates. Dozens of green groups are pressing the moderators of the upcoming debates to ask questions on climate change and the environment. Back in 2016, moderators asked a total of 0 questions on climate issues during 3 presidential debates between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Earlier this week, Fox News' Chris Wallace, C-SPAN's Steve Scully, and NBC News' Kristen Welker were announced as the presidential debate moderators, while USA Today's Susan Page will handle the vice presidential debate. The environmental groups, led by Climate Power, want the moderators to press Trump and Democratic nominee Joe Biden to lay out their plans to fight climate change. And this is a topic that would highlight huge differences between the candidates, as Biden has listed climate change as one of the 4 crises facing the country, while the Trump administration has dismantled governmental policies on the issue. Dozens of House Democrats have also pressed the Commission on Presidential Debates on this issue and are demanding it to publicly call on the moderators to include climate in the topics to be discussed. The first presidential debate is later this month on September 29th. Subscribe to Politico Energy wherever you listen and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you want more energy news in your inbox, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. Carlos Prieto is our producer. Our senior producer is Jenny Ament. And our executive producer is Irene Noguchi. Our editor is Matt Daly, and on the show this week,
Ben LaFave,
Eric Wolf,
Zach Coleman,
Alex Guillen.
Thank you, and we'll be back again Tuesday.
Chevron has spent over $1 billion building one of the largest integrated carbon capture and storage facilities, capable of capturing up to 4 million tons a year. Learn more at chevron.com/possibilities.